Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here doing this podcast with the Bengals director of pro scouting. That is Steven Radicevic. He is in charge of monitoring all of the moves that this team makes in free agency. He also has a very big role in the draft, but he is a very important figure for this Cincinnati franchise in terms of getting these players to fill this roster in the way that the Bengals have over the last couple of years. So really looking forward to talking with him. I am at the owners' meetings in Phoenix, Arizona. Just had a chance to catch up with head coach Zach Taylor. There's a story up from his press conference this morning in which he covers a number of topics, including Joe Burrow's contract extension process, the trade request for Jonah Williams, where the team is at tight end and running back, a number of topics covered by Taylor today. So be sure to check out Cincinnati.com if you're wanting to read the latest on the Bengals. And also we will talk on Wednesday with Bengals Executive Vice President Katie Blackburn, and we'll cover a number of topics with her. It's the one time a year she speaks to the media, so really looking forward to catching up with Katie. But before all of that, here's my conversation with Steven Radicevic, the Bengals Director of Pro Scouting. All right, Steve, wanted to have you on last week, but you've been a very busy man, but so happy that you took some time to join us today to talk about free agency moves. The Bengals obviously haven't had much quiet time, but I know you've been busy. So first, just wanted to say thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
So where do we begin? You guys start the first couple of days and it was very quiet and there's a lot of questions going on about you guys were losing players, five of the starters. You know, you signed Jermaine Pratt back, which I think was a little bit of a shock, but then you see Hayden Hurst, Von Bell, Jesse Bates, they go to other teams. And I know you guys had a plan going in. So can you just tell us a little bit about what the Bengals' plan was heading into free agency for that first wave?
The focus was on retaining our players. We ended up losing Vaughn and Hayden. You've got a bucket of or a pool of money that you're able to spend in free agency. We wanted to keep our own guys. Some of the players ended up getting a little bit more than what we were expecting. And so you end up losing some, and then you've got to pivot a little bit. And that's where we went with, we had some money to spend and we were able to get Orlando Brown.
Yeah. So you just led me into what I was going to ask you about first. I think it was the Wednesday night. So it was the first night of free agency in terms of the new league year officially starting. And it almost seemed like a fake Twitter account that tweeted when the news broke that the Bengals were going to sign Orlando Brown, only because it was so quiet and it wasn't a position of need for you guys. And I know that's not necessarily how you and Duke Tobin look at it. You look at every position, but a lot of the times I feel like through free agency, it's need based. And then that allows you during the draft to maybe take the best player available, but left tackle wasn't necessarily a need. So can you break down the process of how you surveyed the field in terms of knowing, okay, the Chiefs and Orlando Brown were going to go their separate ways, and then how that led you guys to jumping in the mix and then landing him?
We had him highly ranked on our free agent board. We still go through the process and we'll still evaluate, you know, all the offensive linemen, all the running backs, all the wide receivers, just to make sure they're in the right order. And in case you do end up having to pivot or, go another route. So we ended up, like I said, we ended up losing Vaughn. We ended up losing Hayden. We did have a little bit more flexibility in players that we could go after. Orlando's representative agent had reached out Tuesday, said that Orlando would love to play for the Bengals. We just said, I don't know how it would fit money-wise, then the agent reached out again Wednesday and expressed how much Orlando wanted to play with Joe Burrow, and a way to find something that would work for both sides. So the conversation and the dialogue between us and Orlando's agent went on throughout Wednesday. Find out Wednesday night that he was good to go and wanted to sign with what we had offered at around 10:30, 10:45. I had texted or I called Zach, and he was, I think he was sleeping by then. So I didn't hear from him until the next morning when his phone was lit up with text messages saying congratulations on signing Orlando Brown. So yeah, that's kind of how that process went. But yeah, going back to the needs, when you have a player like Orlando, we've watched him twice a year. We know who he is. We know what he's about. We felt like he would be a big improvement on the O-line, whether that was on the right or on the left. So we felt like he would be a positive addition for our team.
Is that... It being how many times the Bengals and Chiefs have gone up against each other in the last 2 years, do you feel like over the last couple of years, I mean, obviously improving the trenches is at the forefront every year for every team of improving, but do you feel like over the last couple of years, especially watching the way the Chiefs have kind of really attacked their offensive line and the results they've seen, and now you guys seeing the direct results you had last year and going out and getting Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, and Lyle Collins, like, do you feel like beefing up the offensive line has become an even bigger priority for this team every year, especially with Joe Burrow's play over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I would say it's been one of our, you know, focuses, and on both on offense and defensive side of the ball. If you look at, you know, how much we've invested on the D-line and the O-line the last 2 or 3 years, we've gone heavy there. But yeah, it's been a focus for us.
Do you guys have, like, when you kind of change your focuses year after year, what are those meetings like where you're setting up what your plan of attack is? Is it more player based where there's certain players you want to get, or is it position based, meaning like, say you want to target the defensive line, of course there's one or two players that you'd really hope to get, but then you have maybe a list of, we'd be okay if we get these guys because all we're focused on is really improving this specific area. Like, what is the balance there?
I think it's just different. It's different year to year. I would say this year was a little bit different because we felt like, you know, you had 11 on 11 if you got all your guys back. We obviously didn't. We ended up losing our two safeties, but we filled it, you know, one of the starting safety spots with Nick Scott and tight ends. You know, it's still a spot that we'll be, you know, monitoring here throughout the next few weeks and then throughout the draft. So, but yeah, I think, you know, going back to a couple years ago, you know, whether it's, you know, Will Jackson, we knew if Will left, how do we fill that void? He leaves, we're able to get two players, you know, Mike Hilton and then Cheeto, fill that spot with what Will Jackson was going to get. You know, defensive end with Carl Lawson, with him leaving, we knew that was going to be a need. So we signed Trey Hendrickson. And then, yeah, like I said, it just varies from year to year in free agency. But this year was really try to retain and keep the core group of guys that we had coming up.
As the director of pro personnel, how far out do you have to know the free agency classes? And I bring that up because I didn't realize it feels like it just goes so fast, but like next year, that's when it's DJ Reader's and Tyler Boyd and their final years of this specific contract that they had. Like, how far out do you have to plan knowing that these years they go quick and you make decisions this year for next year also? So how far out do you have to know the free agency classes?
I'd say we really start honing in on it in like January, right when the season's done. That's when all the tape, you know, we start evaluating all the tape on all the UFAs. But during the season, we're also evaluating Orlando Brown. If he's playing in, you know, Paycor Stadium, we're keeping an eye on him and just looking to see what he looks like up close and personal. Almost like a, I guess you could say, body typing guys, you know, guys that are going to be up contract, you know, guys that are on contract years. But it's hard to see who's going to be a free agent a year from now, because guys may end up getting contract extensions. So it's hard to plan this far out, like for next year's guys. It's hard to start planning that out right now. Really, it's throughout the season and then really grind on it in January.
That makes sense. So going back to Orlando Brown, obviously his play and resume speaks for itself, but I wanted to ask you specifically about him. When you look at the size difference between him and Jonah Williams, for example, it's pretty drastic. And seeing Orlando Brown in person for his introductory press conference, he's massive. Can you put into words just how much Orlando Brown's physical stature, I mean, his experience in high-level games speaks for itself, but how much having a bigger body can help you guys out specifically at that left tackle spot?
Yeah, like you hit on his size, and you talk to guys like Trey Hendrickson, it's really hard for him to get around him just because he is huge. He he can move his feet for his size. So, he really fits the style of alignment that we're looking for. We think he's going to be a good fit there.
And then can you tell us a little bit about Nick Scott? I mean, when you look at his journey from going from being a seventh round pick to working his way to a full-time starter for the Rams and now getting that big second contract, what do you guys like most about Nick Scott's game?
He's about the right stuff. First of all, as a player, he was great when we brought him in here. You could tell that he has true leadership qualities. He's winning is very important to him. He wants to get back and win another Super Bowl. So that was, we hit it off with him personality wise, felt like he was going to be a good fit, having lost the leadership, roles that we had with Vaughn. And then as a player, he's extremely athletic. He's a rangy safety. He can move on the back end, and he will throw his body around as a tackler. We liked his instinct. So he really fit kind of what we were looking for, both as a player and as a person.
Was it a surprise when you guys weren't able to re-sign Von Bell?
I would say so. I think we were all hopeful that we would get him back. He's been such a huge part in the culture and the culture change here. I personally was a little bit disappointed there.
And then obviously you guys weren't done adding to the offensive line. Cody Ford, I would assume he's more of like a depth player. And it seems like based off comments from Zach throughout the season that having depth players that can come in and start, I mean, over the last two seasons, offensive line, you guys have lost starters in critical games. Was that kind of the decision there to sign a guy like Cody Ford to have that insurance policy, a guy who has starting experience?
Exactly, 100%. So he's a guy that we thought very highly of coming out of the draft. We had talked about him as a possible pick there. He's still young. It was a low contract. So he's a guy that, I feel like will have a chip on his shoulder and possibly push for, a playtime. So he's kind of what we're looking for in terms of young and talented, and he does have ability. So
So as a director of, since you brought it up, as a director of pro scouting, when you reference you liked him coming out of the draft, do you guys cross-reference your notes from when you took notes on him coming out of the draft? Like, how do you guys match that with, a player who 4 years later you could be interested in?
100%. You're always going back to read your reports on college players before you sign them in free agency, just to know if there was anything good or bad that you can take out of that. So we read through all of our college reports, and it's a big part of free agency because it's really the only true background you have on players was your experience or exposure to them coming out. And then we'll reach out to maybe connections we have with other teams during free agency. just to make sure that that player is going to be a good fit.
Can you ballpark us how many undrafted free agents you as the director of pro scouting look at in January when you're talking about going through that?
No, I don't even know. It's a long list and it seems like it doesn't end when you're in it. But yeah, no, we do a good job as, you know, like I said, Mike Potts and Christian, Trey, Andrew, just kind of spreading out the assignments and making sure that all the guys are stacked in the right order.
Do you go position by position? How do you break it up?
Yeah, so like Mike Potts will do the offensive line, quarterbacks. I'll do the D-line, linebackers. Trey will do the DBs, tight ends. Andrew will do the running backs, and Christian did the wide receivers. So we'll make sure that all those guys are stacked. Christian also does a good job of, you know, kind of entering all the medical, any injuries that we need to know about. And we've got a box for injuries, so he does a good job of making sure that that's full with whatever injuries they had throughout their professional career. And then we'll also go back and look at any of the college medical.
Got it.
So
that makes sense. When you look at what you've added, what are some positions that you continue to monitor as far as what you're looking to still add? Because I know the roster is ever changing. You never feel like it's set. But specific to the Bengals and your needs and what you've looked at, what are some positions that you feel like you're going to continue to monitor?
Well, I think it's important to monitor all of them still, because you never want to turn away a bad player. But, you know, we obviously lost Aiden, and we'll monitor the tight ends. There are still some interesting tight ends out there. You know, losing Samaje, there's still some interesting running backs. But really, I mean, if, like you said, we'll never turn away a bad player if he wants to play here. And ownership does a great job of finding ways to make it work and finding ways to add players that will help the football team.
How much has your job in specific changed over the last couple of years with the success of the team, and whether it be the talent you've brought in from free agency and the draft? And you talked about the focus has been about retaining. But for you specifically, like, how different has that made things for you when your focus is still, of course, on all of the upcoming undrafted free agents and players that you could add? But the biggest part of it is keeping who you want to keep. So how much has that changed what you do?
Yeah, I would say it'll probably feel it a little bit more next year, because the last few years we've added, you know, a decent amount of players in free agency. The next few years, it's going to be trying to keep a lot of our good players and, again, keeping the young core players together. So, yeah, like I said, this last year, we obviously still added some players in free agency, but you'll probably see a little bit of a different, you know, trying to retain and, you know, even the waiver wires and the waiver wire claims are going to be key, and the final cut down and trying to make sure that we have players stacked in the right order, final cut down. And so, yeah, that'll probably be more the focus, at least on the pro side of things. And we're all still all involved on pro and college. So, you know, maybe my attention gets shifted over a little more to the college side of things.
I just had a couple more for you, but before I move on to, you know, what's next for the Bengals, cornerback's the position I haven't asked you about. You guys just signed one, and I talked to Zach Taylor this morning. I asked him, do you think, you know, given it's uncertain if Cheeto's going to be good to go for week one right now, and obviously Cam Taylor-Britt was a player I know that the franchise is really excited about, but just off of sheer numbers, it feels like in the NFL you have to have at least three starting cornerbacks that can play outside. And he alluded to that, you know, you guys are never going to turn down corners and you're always looking for corners. And then, you know, the team made a move. So can you tell us a little bit about where you feel like you stand at the cornerback spot right now?
Yeah, like Zach hit on it. I mean, you can never have enough corners. Cause it always seems like there's something that comes up injury wise or, for whatever reason. So we'll keep monitoring the corner, but Sydney is going to be a great addition for us. He, again, young, fits what we're looking for culture wise, was a big time player coming out of UW. has had a couple, you know, injury setbacks throughout his career, but he's athletic and he's got good cover skills. And Chuck feels like he's still an ascending player, Chuck Burks and Lou. So we like that about him. And he was great in here today. So we're excited about him as an addition.
When you look at the free agent additions you made last year with Ted, Alex, and Lael, and Hayden, am I missing someone who was a starter that played for you guys in a big way from last year's free agency class?
I think those are the main ones, yeah.
Oh, how much did you feel like those, let's focus on the three offensive linemen who are still on the team, like, were they everything you thought that they would be?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you guys see Ted on all the social media content, and I mean, the guy's unbelievable. He's a great leader and a great player. We think very highly of him. Alex was a great addition, really good locker room guy. Both those guys are made of the right stuff. You know, it was unfortunate that Lael got hurt because he was playing better towards that final stretch. And then Hayden, again, same thing, was built, you know, made the right way. Obviously brought that physicality aspect to the game that we all loved. But yeah, you know, I would say Alex and Ted were great additions up front.
So you mentioned that next for you guys is really retaining your players. How do you feel like your roster looks at this point? I know you don't play a game for a while and the draft's still a huge piece of this, but just based off of what you return, who you've added in free agency, how do you feel like this roster looks?
I think we all feel pretty positive about right now. It's again, like you said, it's still early. You still have the draft. You're going to have, you know, we picked up three players last year off of waiver claims that were, good players for us with Sharping, Asiasi, there's one more slipping my mind right now. J2Fele. All three of those guys ended up being key role players for us. So there's plenty of time to find players at depth and add starters throughout the draft.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I know you guys are very specific on making sure that the roster is never finalized. You know, that's a big thing for scouts and coaches to make sure that they say. But I know you're super busy, and I want to let you go back to the job that is most important, and that is getting this Bengals roster to where it is right now. You guys have done an unbelievable job the last couple of years, and I know you guys will continue to do that. So thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you, Kelsey. Great seeing you.